Hello, podcast listeners. We wanted to let you know that we have a very cool opportunity for you. Peter Max is bringing his psychedelic counterculture pop art to Austin's Russell Collection, and we will be giving away signed posters of his work to celebrate. So anyone who emails the promo code MEETPETERMAX to podcasts@kut.org before August 16th, 2016, will be entered into a drawing to receive one of these coveted posters. We'll be drawing 10 names on August 20th, and we'll contact the winners on August 25th. Again, that's promo code MEETPETERMAX. Just email us at podcasts@kut.org with that in the subject line, and you are entered to win. Good luck, and thanks for listening.
Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing thing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Human beings have this interesting reaction, which is that we tend to blame people for the stuff they do, but not the stuff they don't do.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, omission bias.
From a philosophical standpoint, if you're thinking about who's to blame for something, philosophically, you could make the argument that someone who acts in a way that causes a bad outcome is equally to blame as someone who could have done something to stop a bad outcome and doesn't. But psychologically, we treat those things very differently. So if you do the thing that leads to the bad outcome, then you really are to blame.
Guilty.
Absolutely. If you don't do something that would have prevented a bad outcome, well, would have been nice if you had stopped it. But
could you put forth a little effort?
But you're not guilty.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And so that's called omission bias.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing. When we think about in the law, we talk about proximate causes and ultimate causes, like what's the near-term thing that led to that? What's the long-term thing that led to that? And as an understandable bias, when we're observing the world, things that move, we attribute as causes, and things that are still, we don't, right? So if there's something, you know, coming flying across our visual field, we think, well, that's causing something to happen, or at least potentially causing something to happen. If somebody's just sitting there, well, it's just sitting there, right? Mm. And so we over a long evolutionary history, have learned to attend to things that move, because things that move are more likely to have an effect on us than things that are still. And so, of course, we would say, well, that Art Markman's just sitting there like a lump.
As always. Yeah. He's never to blame for anything. But think about it like this. You're driving down the street and there's a car that has hit a tree. Okay, you wouldn't say, well, who's to blame for that accident? Clearly the tree.
The tree, right?
Because that tree was
still
there. So it was clearly something that the driver did or the car did or something that broke in the car.
Right.
Because the tree, that's just part of the background.
But of course, one of the things about being a human being that distinguishes us from many organisms is our ability to see far into the future and not only to see what will proximally be affected by a given action, right? We can see many actions down the road, or we can predict long into the future. I mean, most people who have, you know, good jobs have retirement accounts, for goodness sake, and we pay Social Security taxes with the idea in mind. We're thinking years down the road, unimaginably long periods of time. Now, when you have that capacity, there's a little bit of an expectation that if you know something bad is going to happen, you can actually act to do something to keep it from happening. Yeah. But again, our evolutionary history didn't shape us to think that way, even though we have the capacity to think that way now.
And of course, part of the problem too is, and we've talked about this on a lot of other shows, we're not, as a species, particularly good at dealing with uncertainty. And so when we say, I could have acted to prevent this, we really mean that in a probabilistic way.
Yeah.
Chances are, if I had done this thing, I could have stopped the event that happened. And so, but the problem is, of course, I could have acted and then something else could have gone wrong, or my action might not have had the consequence that I thought it was going to. And so one of the reasons that we tend not to blame inaction is because had I acted, things still might have gone awry. But when I act and then there's a problem, well, then we know you acted and this thing happened.
Yeah.
Which is why we also have this funny outcome bias where if you do the wrong thing and then things turn out okay, the punishment is less severe. And so if you think about the law, you know, if you shoot somebody and they die, that's murder. If you shoot somebody and they don't die, then it's not murder. Maybe it's attempted murder, but somehow that's not quite as bad as if you actually, as if the outcome was bad, even though you may have done exactly the same thing in each case.
There is an interesting thing, though, because one of the things that we do as human beings and many organisms navigating the world is figuring out what causes what. And when you fail to do something and something, there's some negative occurrence, well, you're not the cause because you didn't do anything. So the cause is attributed to whatever the preceding events
would have happened anyhow.
Would have happened anyhow. And we don't like to think that things happen for no reason. I mean, we like to think that everything has a cause. And what we underestimate more than anything else in human perception is random fluctuations. I mean, there's all kind of stuff that happens because randomness is in the picture. Except if you're looking for something, if you're looking for a post hoc explanation for why, like you want to blame somebody or you want to show a reason, we're good enough storytellers. We'll come up with a scenario that explains something, even though the explanation is far removed from reality, right? Because the idea of things happening for no reason at all is anathema to most people's thinking.
People often try to avoid taking some responsibility by not acting. And it's the language of that is really interesting because you say, I'm taking responsibility by acting. Mm-hmm. At no point does someone ever really say, I'm taking responsibility by not acting, right? But yeah. Of course, you are if by choosing not to engage with a situation and allowing a potentially dangerous situation to continue without your involvement, you are also acting.
And this isn't to say that all affirmative actions are good and all choices not to act are bad, right? Because many times choosing not to engage in a stupid argument, for example, might be...
So you say.
Ain't got nothing to do with me.
Might be the better option in some circumstances. But again, the difference is between what happens short term and what happens long term.
Next week, we'll talk about pet peeves with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head in iTunes, Stitcher, or on SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We would love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.